Bear Podcast, the podcast for bears and cubs, episode 28.
Hello everyone, this is Nard.
And this is ex-Calibear.
And we're here podcasting, and I'm in Houston, and
I'm over here in cold-ass San Francisco.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So many things have been happening this weekend. Last weekend, actually.
A lot of stuff going on. By the way, Nard?
Yeah.
Folding laundry, that's hot.
Oh, really?
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, you had me so turned on. Oh, my nipples exploded with delight hearing that.
I didn't know folding colors do that to you. What if...
Oh, they were colors? I'm going to come.
Yeah, okay. So, what more if I did the whites?
Hmm. Oh, well, I don't know. It's the colors, because the colors are naughty.
Yeah, the colors are naughty. Yeah, yesterday I was podcasting while doing my laundry, while folding my laundry. Yeah,
nothing says fun like podcasting while doing the laundry.
Yeah, that's right.
So hopefully your weekend was better than mine.
Let me see. Yeah, it's pretty okay. We just went bowling Friday, and I scored. I played two games, and
you said score.
I scored. I didn't score. What did I get? I just got 145 on both, and that's just
about it.
So that's pretty much. It was fun. We had some friends come over, so it was good.
Cool.
What about you? What happened to your Friday?
Oh, my Friday was hell. I went into San Francisco, just got my paycheck, cashed it, only to have my wallet get basically pickpocketed from me.
Where at?
It was either in the Apple Store or in the Virgin Mega Store. My guessing is going to be the Virgin Mega Store because there was so many people in there. People were bumping into each other and everything. And the thing, though, is my wallet was attached to a chain. And so he couldn't pull it off of my pants, but he managed to take, he or she, whoever it was, managed to take it out of my pants without me feeling it, opened the wallet up. They helped themselves to $100, my ATM card, my ticket to go see the Chronicles of Narnia, and a $20 gift certificate for Suncoast, and then put the wallet back into my pants completely open.
Gosh.
They were kind enough to leave me $80.
Oh, really? Maybe they were just in a hurry.
That's what I'm thinking.
Oh, okay.
But they must have not have been in too much of a hurry to find my ATM card and my movie ticket. So I was just like, well, that's nice. At least they left me some money. I came into some money today, so I was able to at least replace the money that I lost. Happy about that.
He left you some BART money.
Yeah, basically, they left me transportation money and enough to buy a burger in the city. So.
Oh, okay. God, Friday.
That was my oh-so-lovely Friday.
Mm-hmm. How about, did you have to work on that day?
Oh,
you
I had to work earlier in the day, and then at night I went out into the city. So I came home. Saturday I had to work again. By the way, anybody who is listening to this right now that works retail, I feel ya. I absolutely feel ya. It's hell right now. This is the time of year where all shoppers get stupid.
Oh.
They just get completely stupid and don't even think before they do something, and I've already seen about 3 fights break out in the Disney store, and it's not even the week before Christmas yet.
Why? Are they trying to fight for the next RoboSapien or something?
They're fighting over plush. That's the thing. At one point, they were fighting over this Cinderella doll, and then they were fighting over this $5 stuffed Minnie Mouse, so I don't know. I was just like shaking my head and going, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I come home after a long day from work on Saturday, ready to take a shower, only to find out that the piping to the gas on this house got ripped off. Literally, a truck ran into it and bursted all the pipings on the outside. Fortunately, there was nothing going in the house gas-wise, and there was no candles lit or anything, so the house didn't blow up. Mm-hmm. But apparently the house flooded with with gas. They had to completely air out the house and everything. And, you know, my nephew was over, and he was feeling woozy and everything. So there's no heat right now.
Oh, my God.
We're still waiting for PG&E to come and fix it. So basically went throughout the entire weekend with no heat, no hot water, no stove because it's a gas stove. I had to go get a hot plate. And fortunately, I have a membership for 24-hour fitness, so I've been able to take showers there.
Hey, I do that too. In my old place, I there was a problem also with water here, so I would drive two blocks. I drive two blocks to the gym here, and then I would do my showers there too. And it's pretty easy using your water.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And plus, also our gym here, you know, it has a hot tub and a steam room, and it also has a swimming pool. So I just use those facilities. And unfortunately, it's not a cruisy one here because in the Richmond, we are the ghetto. So you cruise, you die. So
that's too bad. You cannot cruise.
Which is a shame too, because there's a lot of hot Latin poppies that go to that gym too. And it's you don't want to cruise here. It's not safe. So
I see. Do they sometimes wash themselves in the genital area for about 10 minutes? Do you see? You guys
when they do that, they actually turn around and they get into like the little corner to make sure that nobody's watching them.
Oh, okay.
It's very interesting. They actually do like this look around, and then they go into the corner, and then you see them watching themselves. And I'm just like, okay, make it a little more obvious, why don't you?
10 minutes later, it's clean now, all right.
10 minutes later, wait a minute, the soap in the showers is orange. What's that white stuff on the wall?
Oh, God. Oh, goodness.
So Sunday, I did have to work for a little bit. It was only a partial shift, thank God. And then I came home and got ready because it was the cast. At the Disney Store, we're called cast members. We're not called employees, by the way.
Really?
Yes.
Cast
don't
members?
Ask. Don't ask.
Oh, God.
Don't ask. Discussing the politics about working for Disney is a podcast in itself.
Oh, okay. So,
but it was the cast party. It was the cast member Christmas party that night. So
okay.
We all gathered at our boss's house. We had a Christmas party. We played a trivia game, and we ate dinner. And then it was time for the Kris Kringle exchange. And I found out that my Kris Kringle was fired a week and a half ago.
He didn't even.
I didn't get none.
Oh goodness! What did you get? I mean, what did you give away?
Well, my Kris Kringle was very easy to shop for. She said that she wanted the new Mariah Carey CD that came out this year, The Emancipation of Mimi.
Okay.
So I got her the special edition one that has the DVD included.
I see.
So I'm walking home empty-handed, and I'm just like, fuck me, hey. Mm-hmm.
So, and then, was this in San Francisco?
No, the party was actually over here.
Oh, yeah, in Richmond. Okay. Wow.
Yeah, in Richmond. Yeah, we're all here. So I work at the Disney Store out here in Richmond. So.
Oh goodness.
But I went out to the city again today because I met with my friend Ken,
okay.
And I also earned some money.
All right.
And I put italics around the word earned.
Okay. You make it sound like you were doing the streets.
No, it wasn't nothing like that.
Oh, okay, okay.
Without going into too much details, I did a film shoot today. So
all right, okay.
I unfortunately can't go into any details about it because it's a top secret project. So.
Oh, okay.
And that was per request of the director. Mm-hmm. But I went to go see two movies today, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
Two movies which I actually would love to discuss about it. But before I discuss those movies, I'm on my way to the movie theater, and my wallet almost gets stolen again today.
Okay.
And, yeah, and this time in broad daylight, right in front of me, I'm on the street, and I used to have a chain attached to my wallet.
Okay.
I don't anymore because it ripped. The guy just came running out of nowhere, grabbed a hold of the chain, and yanked it, and almost got off of my wallet, but it wasn't for the fact that I kicked him in the balls, and then when he fell down, I kicked him in the face. He probably would have gotten away with my wallet.
Gosh, you're violent.
Only when I need to be.
Okay.
You can ask anybody. I'm pretty much of a pacifist, but he just kind of picked the wrong time to piss me off.
Good timing. Well,
if there's anybody who is coming to San Francisco during the holiday season, the pickpockets are out in full force. Please watch out for them.
Mm-hmm. What's going to be... So what's going to be now? You're not going to wear that chain anymore? I think that chain is the magnet there, being pickpocketed.
Well, the chain no longer exists because it completely... I don't know what he did, but he broke the chain. So it's no longer on my wallet. So
did it hurt? Yeah. Was it connected to your cock ring or something? No.
No, unfortunately. But I hope it hurt his hand because it was a barbed wire chain. So.
Oh, okay.
I hope he got hurt.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess he did.
Well, yeah, I mean, before I kicked his ass.
Okay. So, well, you've been... So, overall, do you think it's a shitty weekend for you?
It was a shitty weekend, yeah. Oh. So, pretty much I had a shitty weekend, but thanks for asking.
Okay.
But let's talk about something good now.
Okay, let's talk about something more pleasant. Let's talk about movies.
Yeah, my
favorite. Have your reviews.
Yeah, so... the two movies that I saw today were the. Let's start with the first one. I heard that you mentioned seeing this one. I went and seen The Chronicles of Narnia today.
Oh yeah, okay. I talked about it yesterday. Yeah, okay.
And I want to say that I walked away not being converted to Christianity. I'm still myself.
All right.
That really pissed me off. Actually, a couple of weeks ago, I was dragged to a community church Christmas program.
All right.
And in the middle of the program, the senior pastor suddenly got up out of nowhere and made this speech about how the Chronicles of Narnia is getting ready to come out into the theaters and how it's a parable of the story of Jesus and how he feels that this movie is a perfect way to talk to non-believers about Jesus Christ. So he was encouraging the churchgoers to take the quote-unquote non-believers to this film. And I'm, like, sitting here, and I'm going, okay, so you want your churchgoers to take the people who are not Christians to go see the Chronicles of Narnia in hopes that they will find Jesus and come to your church? Fuck you! You know, go see the Chronicles of Narnia because it's a great story for the whole family, you know? Yeah. Screw finding Jesus. I mean, give me a break.
Uh-huh.
I am not going to let the church turn this into the Passion of the Christ. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's a kid's book.
I will admit, I went to Catholic school, so of course I had to read these books because there is a Christian undertone to these books. They are. Aslan is clearly a parable of Jesus. He really is.
Uh-huh.
But it's a undertone. That's the thing. It's not blatant. This is pretty much the children's version of The Lord of the Rings is what it pretty much is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not meant to be a gateway into Christianity. So it really pissed me off that that's what they're trying to turn it into. It's just weird. I mean, can you imagine going to church and instead of praying to Jesus, you pray to the lion?
Pray to Aslan.
All hail mighty Aslan.
Yeah. Let me touch your mane. I'll be blessed. Oh,
in the name of Aslan, I'll roar. You know, something.
But
anyway, I really enjoyed the movie. I thought they did an excellent job. You haven't finished reading the book yet, have you?
I'm about halfway still.
Okay. They did a very good job adapting the book, actually. I was very surprised with how well they adapted it. That was one of my biggest concerns. I mean, even though I work for Disney, let's face it, Disney's movies have not really been that great lately. So when I heard that they were doing The Chronicles of Narnia, I got very nervous.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting here going, please don't screw this up.
But
I was very impressed with the job that they did. I mean, this was one of the best pieces of work that I've actually seen come out of the Walt Disney Company in a long time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty much a direct adaptation of the book, which is what I was amazed about. They picked the perfect people to play the roles, especially the woman who played the White Witch. I thought she was terrifying. She was as creepy as she needed it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And the special effects were just unbelievable. I mean, they were some of the best special effects I've ever seen. The effects on Aslan were incredible, but the ones that blew me away were the creatures that are half human, half animal, because you really couldn't tell where it was computer animation or where it was animatronic or where it was the live actor. It was just a very seamless blend, and that really impressed me.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I like the way they did the Minotaurs. Yeah.
Yeah, the Minotaurs especially. Yes, mm-hmm. the Minotaurs looked very good. And the griffins didn't look like they were computer animated. They looked like real birds. The wolves were very impressive looking. Mm-hmm. The talking wolves looked more impressive than Babe, actually.
Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah, they did a very, very good job. You could tell that they took over 2 years to make this movie. There was a lot of blood, sweat, and tears put into this film.
Well, I sort of kind of teary-eyed when they started, you know, when they were about to fight the two armies.
It was an emotional moment. It definitely is an emotional moment. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, don't give away too much. Don't give away any spoilers.
okay.
Well, we can just say this: this was part one in a seven book series. So don't worry, folks.
Yeah, that's right.
But it's like Harry Potter for Christians.
Harry Potter for Christians. Anyway, any other movies that you?
Yes, I went to go see possibly the movie that's on the lips of practically every single gay man in America, and gay woman, actually, in America right now, and that's Brokeback Mountain.
That's right.
It's a good thing we didn't do the podcast earlier, or else you wouldn't have been able to talk to me. I was an emotional wreck.
Really? Okay.
Did you get a chance to see it?
No, not yet. I plan to see it probably this weekend. So, it's okay if you spoil it, I'll delete it. Okay, I'll edit it out.
No, I don't want to give away any spoilers with this movie. This is a movie that has to be seen. Just bring tissue, whatever you do. You're going to need it. Mm-hmm. This was one of the most powerful film experiences I have ever had. It packed an emotional wallop. It really did. And the thing is this movie is its style of storytelling. It's one of those movies where so much is said without saying too much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the character that Heath Ledger plays, yeah, he's a man of very few words. And in doing that, he's able to convey exactly what's going on in his mind and, you know, the conflict that his character has in the film and everything without really talking too much. And it basically boils down to, you know, we have these two characters, one who is somebody who, you know, wants to love and wants to live and is willing to give everything. And then you have the other character, you know, which is Heath Ledger's character, who is in conflict. He's not loving enough, and he's afraid to take, you know, any steps or anything. So you got this big conflict going on between them.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, also, since they did fall in love with each other, you know, their actions, basically they show how their actions affect other people in their lives, like their wives and everything, their children and everything. So it really covers the whole spectrum of, you know, how your actions can affect other lives.
How did you feel when you watched it? I mean,
I was crying probably for a good 45 minutes after the movie. Even on the Bart ride home, I was still crying.
And you were alone.
I went to go see it alone. That's another thing. This is not a movie to go see alone. Bring friends with you. You are going to need the emotional support.
Oh,
I mean, it is one of the most touching films I've ever seen. It really is. Yeah. And it's absolutely beautiful. It's directed by Ang Lee, who directed Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, and the Ice Storm. And unfortunately, he also directed Hulk, but this movie completely makes up for the disaster that film was.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's finally going to get Best Director for this film. I mean, he told the story perfectly, and at the same time, he basically made a complete postcard picture image of Wyoming, the mountains of Wyoming. So,
oh, yeah. Well,
the movie is actually set in Wyoming in the 60s. It starts in 1963, and it goes up to, I think, around like the early 70s or something like that. I can't remember.
I see. Wyoming is very nice. I mean, I've been there, when was it, last year, 2004.
Oh, it's a beautiful. I mean, it was all filmed on location in Wyoming, and the locations that he found for filming the film, especially the Brokeback Mountain area, it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. There's just some beautiful cinematography in that film.
Wow. Probably this weekend, yeah. We'll get to see it.
Oh, yeah, don't miss
it.
Well, are you sure? I mean, King Kong starts this weekend.
Oh, goodness, there's just so many to watch.
You need to go see it before that, mister.
Uh-huh.
Well, the biggest question, of course, about the movie is whether or not mainstream America is going to accept this film, because even though it's been released limited right now, they are going to release it nationwide. And from my understanding, they're doing that on Christmas.
Oh, okay.
It's being released from Focus Features, and Focus Features is actually a division of Universal Pictures. So this is the first time that a major movie studio has done a movie like this, where it's a... I guess you can classify it as a gay love story, but the thing is there's so much going on in this movie. It's not just a gay love story. It's about personal conflict, about identity. Mm-hmm. It's about hurting the ones that you love. Mm-hmm. There's just so many elements going on. They are doing the smart thing by not just focusing on the gay love story and trying to say that there is more to it than that, because there honestly is. And that's one thing that pretty much middle in America is going to have to get over. Yes, there is a gay love story in this movie, but that's not all that this movie is about. It's just one piece of the puzzle of this film.
But you know what? There's a lot of gay movies coming out this season.
We just had Rent. Unfortunately, that flopped, but we just had Rent, and Transamerica just got released, and we have The Producers coming out in a couple of weeks, which, let's face it, that's a gay show. One of the main characters is, you know, a flaming queen to begin with, and, you know, basically portrays Hitler as Judy Garland at Carnegie Hall.
Okay.
Brokeback. This is probably the biggest one because of the studio that's released it, the actors that are involved, and the director that's involved. That's why this one's getting so much attention, because you have two A-list actors, you know, Heath Ledger and Jake Gyllenhaal, and you have Ang Lee, who's, you know, directed some pretty powerful films, and you have the backing of Universal Studios, so that's why there's a lot riding on this film. But this is not only a movie that I think America probably will come to accept, but they need to accept this movie. It's about time that a movie like this is made. And if people are afraid of gratuitous sex scenes in this movie, they're going to be very disappointed, because
there's none.
There is a sex scene between Heath and Jake, but it's only like 25 seconds. It's very, very brief, and you really don't see anything. Because that's not what the movie is about. To be honest with you, there's more gratuitous sex scenes between Jake and Heath with their wives than there is between them in this film. I mean, it's not just, you know, male nudity. There's female nudity in this movie. As a matter of fact, one of the stars of the film is Anne Hathaway, who's from The Princess Diaries. She's a little girl from The Princess Diaries. And ladies and gentlemen, the Princess of Shinobia from The Princess Diary goes full frontal nudity at one point in this movie. I'm just like, oh, well, that's a Disney image shattered.
Nudity in Disney story, in Disney movies.
But, I mean, it's just, I know that there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be like, I don't want to go see that movie, it's that gay shit and stuff like that. But the thing is that's not what this movie's about. There's just so much. There's something in this movie that anybody can relate to, gay or straight. It does not matter. It's about the power of love and about how your actions affect others, and you have to be careful, you know, with your decisions that you make in life. And it also basically displays how the power of love itself you have no control over. Yeah, you know, there's just a lot that goes on in this movie, and unfortunately, that's all of that I can reveal without giving away spoilers, because there is a lot of spoilers to this film. So,
to all you listeners there, we highly recommend you guys watch *Brokeback Mountain* whenever you can this week.
I think it might be around because it's been winning a lot of Critics Board awards right now.
Yeah, okay.
And there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It has to win the Oscar for Best Picture. Whether or not it will, I don't know, because, you know, it's got the stigma of being a gay-themed movie. Mm-hmm. But it definitely deserves the Oscar for Best Picture. It really does.
Anyway, so didn't you mention before that you got some other movies, is it? Or other movies that are good for the holidays these days?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. To all of the listeners out there, if you are shopping for a beloved bear on your list, or even if there's people out there who are not a bear, but they have friends who are considered bears, or if you're a chaser and you have a bear or something like that, you're looking for a last-minute Christmas gift, there are actually five DVDs that I honestly think that every single bear should have in their collection. And I've compiled them up for you, and the reason why. So if you're looking for a gift, you want to give them a movie, here's five that you can never go wrong with.
Okay, let me see if I have them in my list. Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
What do you have?
The first one is The Full Monty.
Oh.
Came out in 1997. The main reason for that is because of the character Dave, who was played by
Mark Addy. Oh, yes. do you watch, what is that?
Still Standing?
Still Standing?
Yes, I do. Oh, he's the main reason why I watch it.
Me too. I always wait for
the chance. I became an instant fan of his after The Full Monty, and he's adorable. He's absolutely adorable.
Oh, yeah.
And I fell in love with him so much in that film. I felt so sorry for him. And the great thing about his character in the film is that he does come to accept who he is finally within the film. And that's the reason why I think that it belongs in every bear collection, not only because he's a cutie, but because as bears, we do go through that in our life. We go through that point where, oh, my God, you know, I don't look the way that I'm supposed to look. You know, look at this magazine. I'm supposed to look like this. I look ugly. But we just have to learn to basically love ourselves for what we are. And, if, you know, if everybody did, this world would be nice and peaceful. But it's a very great message. So that's the reason why I recommended that one.
Yeah. I got that, but I haven't got it in DVD yet. I have it in, since 97, I had it in VHS, I think. So.
Well, I don't think, if you have it on VHS, I think the only real benefit of having it on DVD, because there's really no extras on the DVD, except for the fact that it's in widescreen.
Oh,
so,
okay.
if you collect movies in widescreen, then that would be a reason to get them.
You mean there's no deleted scenes?
Well, no deleted scenes or anything. It's just the original theatrical trailer, and then you can watch it in regular full screen or widescreen.
Oh, well.
Yeah, so, they haven't released like a collector's edition of it or anything. So, movie's getting ready to turn 10 years old, so they might release an anniversary edition of it. You never know. It turns 10 years old in 2 years, believe it or not. So.
Oh, good. That's true. So, what else do you have in your list?
The next one is the music group The Scissor Sisters have released a concert video.
Oh, okay.
And The Scissor Sisters, to begin with, is an incredible band. If you have not heard anything from this band, I highly recommend downloading some of their stuff. They are amazing. They got their start, actually, in the Tranny Shacks in New York and San Francisco. And they're an all-gay group except for Animatronic, who... Actually, she was a female drag queen who participated in the Tranny Shacks, and she is the only straight female. She's basically the fag hag of the group.
Oh, okay.
But they're incredibly talented. Their music just basically explores all genres. But most important of all, the guitarist of the group, not only is he the bass guitarist, but he's also the keyboardist of the group, is a bear. Fucking hot.
Actually, yeah. My partner, when they went to New Orleans, and when he was in New Orleans, and Scissor Sisters opened for B-52s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and...
That actually is fitting. That's very fitting, actually.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. And then when they watched them in New Orleans, they played and... Baby Daddy, is it?
Baby Daddy, yeah.
He's got this strap on his guitar with a paw on it. He's a real bear chaser, too. I guess he likes bears.
Oh, yeah, he's not only a bear, but he's into bears as well. So
yeah.
He's very soft-spoken, though. That's the thing. In the interviews, you always hear from Animatronic and then the lead singer, whose name eludes me at this time. But
okay.
Whenever they speak to him, he's a man of very few words. So there's something mysterious about Baby Daddy, which is more of a turn-on. So, but that's
mystery.
Not the only reason to get the Scissor Sisters video. They're an incredible band. And for those who may or may not be familiar with the Scissor Sisters, they recorded the songs Take Your Mama. They also recorded the techno remix of Comfortably Numb by Pink Floyd. And they have an incredible song called The Return to Oz, which is basically a... They took the movies Return to Oz and The Dark Crystal and turned them into a metaphor of crystal meth use.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah, it's an eerie song when you hear all these references from this movie and how they actually resemble, you know, people who are on crystal meth. So,
Scissor Sisters. Okay, so that's two on your list. I think I got. I should get that. It's a because my partner has the CD. Mm-hmm. You're talking about the concert video, right?
The concert video.
Oh,
yes.
That is good then. Yeah.
It's not only the concert. It's not only a concert, but it also has a documentary video about how they got together, and it also contains four of their music videos. Mm-hmm. It unfortunately doesn't have the music video for my favorite song, which is "Filthy Gorgeous." And if anybody's ever seen the music video for it, it's a great video because they actually filmed it at the Tranny Shack.
Oh,
and
okay.
They got all the people who basically participate in all the Tranny Shacks across the entire world to participate in the video. So, yeah, if you ever go to any of the Tranny, if you have a Tranny Shack store, show in your neighborhood, and if you go see it, you might recognize a couple of faces. Like, Heklina is one of our big trans stars here in San Francisco, and she was in the video. So, it was cool.
Okay. So, what else do you have there?
This one's probably going to make people roll their eyes, but I mean, pretty much the title alone, it belongs in the in your video collection, and it's Disney's Brother Bear.
Oh, Brother Bear. The cartoon?
The cartoon, yes.
Okay.
The reason why, one, it's adorable. I mean, two, I mean, come on, the title alone. I mean, when I went to go see Brother Bear in a theater, I think the audience was filled with practically all bears.
Really? Okay.
Yes. It cracked me up. But most importantly, there is a message about brotherhood within the bears that is pretty much generated throughout the entire film. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I guess at the same time, you could say that kind of applies to the bear community, or at least it should be applied to the bear community, because we are a brotherhood. We're all connected, you know, for a reason, because...
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're basically, you know, showing support for each other, and there's a musical number that's in the movie that even talks about that. So
don't forget the Chasers, like me too.
Yeah. Oh, of course, and the Chasers as well. Yes.
Okay, Brother Bear. So we have what do you call? We have Full Monty. We have Scissor Sisters, the concert video, and Brother Bear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what's your fourth one?
The next one is John Waters' A Dirty Shame.
Okay.
This actually, I think the last two titles are requirements, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. A Dirty Shame is a requirement because we need to be able to laugh at ourselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's face it, some of the stuff that we do in the bear community is ridiculous. I mean, the whole wolf thing, that can get a little ridiculous sometimes. And they have, you know, three characters in the movie which are referred to themselves as Papa Bear, Mama Bear, and the Cub.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the whole entire house basically looks like a log cabin. They all wear nothing but torn Levi's and shirtless flannel shirts.
Yeah.
I mean, sleeveless flannel shirts. They say woof and grr all the time. They're constantly having chub hugs and barbecues in the front of their house, and their whole entire house is decorated with bear decorations and everything. So,
yeah. Did you get to watch the not deleted scenes, but the documentary behind it in the special features of it?
Not yet.
If you get to see it, they have an interview with those three guys from Baltimore. They're all, of course, they should be all from Baltimore. Yeah. Baltimore.
Well, if I remember right, one of them, John Waters actually found on Bear 411, if I remember right.
Yeah. I have a few friends who've been chatting with them, too. who actually know them. But
it makes me wonder if John Waters actually is attracted to bears and chubby guys.
No, I don't think so. I don't think
he had a mad obsession with Divine, and look at how large Divine was.
But you know what? I was in New Orleans, and I heard from somebody there, I think from my partner's roommate, that he hangs out, when he was interviewed once, he hangs out at the corner pocket, which is supposedly the one of the bars there.
Oh, he's a skank anyway. And
I guess. But I don't know, I just heard about that, okay.
There's a place here in San Francisco called Blow Buddies. I mean, you can guess what that is. And if you go to the website for Blow Buddies, there's actually a review written up by John Waters.
Oh, okay.
He basically says every city needs a Blow Buddies. It's like Disneyland for gay adults. And so, I mean, that pretty much, you know, explains what type of a guy John Waters is. But I mean, Dirty Shame, basically the whole point of a Dirty Shame was, you know, it explored, you know, sexual kinks and fetishes and basically the stuff that we normally do not want to drag out into the open and talk about, and he forced us to confront all of them, you know, even some of the nastier ones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the bear one, definitely, you know, like I said, we need to be able to laugh at ourselves and how ridiculous sometimes we get in the whole bear community. So
yeah.
It was just, you know, when they finally introduced themselves and they were like, I'm the mama bear, this is the papa bear, this is the cub, we're bears.
Grr!
Oh, God!
I didn't like that, but of course...
I almost fell out of my chair. I was laughing so hard, and I went, oh, dear God, I know people like that, actually.
Uh-huh. Oh, goodness. So, okay, so Dirty Shame.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what's
and
your other DVD?
The last one, you know, surprise, surprise, obviously, is the movie Bear Cub.
Yeah, of course.
Or as it's known in Spain, Cachorro.
Cachorro.
This was the first movie made about the bear community, and it was a very positive movie. As a matter of fact, it, you know, portrayed the bear community in a very positive light. It didn't, you know, jump on any stereotypes or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it basically, you know, even though this was a guy who was in the bear community when, you know, suddenly he had his nephew thrusted upon him, he started beginning to doubt, you know, who he was and his identity and, you know, started changing himself and everything when, you know, of course the bear community is about just being yourself, you know.
Yeah.
And
well, it's more like he really just had to confront a responsibility that he had to do.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's just, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he had a responsibility, but, you know, at the same time, he was pretty much denying who he was. I mean, some of the changes that happened were definitely, you know, for the better. You know, I mean, he was pretty much displayed in the movie. His character was, I guess the politically correct term would be user-friendly.
Yeah.
But, you know, he was basically shutting himself off from his friend's world and everything, which is not good to do. And... Mm-hmm. You know, it was great to finally actually see the bear community portrayed on film in a very positive light,
yeah. And
not in a stereotypical light at the same time. So I really applauded Spain for making this movie.
Yeah. Did you watch the theatrical showing of it, or
I saw
DVD?
Both. I've seen the theatrical release and the DVD release.
Oh, so you know you saw the. The explicit parts at the beginning.
Oh, yeah. I saw the blowjob, yes.
The blowjob? The blowjob, that's not all. I think the guy was even humping him, you know.
Oh, yeah, at one point, yeah.
At one point.
But the blowjob was hot, so.
Uh-huh. Also, the bathhouse scene. He was in
yes.
the bathhouse. Yeah.
I mean, and the thing is in the theatrical version, you could so tell that they cut in those scenes. Because really didn't do a good job cleaning those edits. I'm sitting there watching it going, oh, so in the European version, this is where they fuck.
Oh, yeah, okay. All right, so those are Excalibur's movie review.
So, yeah, so if you have a bear that you're shopping for and if he's into movies like I am, those are 5 titles that you can't go wrong on DVD.
All right.
And then I guess I'll be coming back probably either the end of this year or at the beginning of next year to basically, you know, talk about the films of 2005, you know, the ones that I thought were good and the ones that were absolute stinkers and everything. We'll probably do a little rope-a-dope about Rent, but because I think you liked it a little more than I did. So.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I've gotten some flack from my review of Rent. I absolutely hated the film. I'm a big fan of the musical, and I was just appalled by the film.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I had some people basically, you know, in so many words, tell me "fuck you" with my review. But hey, you know, it's my opinion. You know, you don't have to listen to me. So
yeah,
that's it.
Nice butt.
Yeah, sure.
So what's your number?
Can I buy you a beer?
Do you work out a lot?
Do you come here often?
Woof! What a bear!
Here's a very cute cub in Port Arthur, Texas. He's obscure cub in Bear 411. His name is Joe. He has a live journal. And it's X homage to death, X. And let me read parts of his profile in live journal. He's a very, very talented young cub. He's a very good artist. Okay, let me see here. X homage to Death X. His interests in music. Industrial, synth, hardcore, metal, electronic, new wave, J-rock, Visual K, trip-hop, breakbeats, electroclash, electrocore, synth-pop, EBM, darkway, ethereal, trance, and noise. It's very diverse interests in music. Movies. He likes horror, sci-fi, foreign, drama, indie, Bollywood, artistic, fantasy, action, musical, gay themes. So, other info, he's also a computer graphics and web designer. He's very talented. If you look at his live journal, he's got a lot of images there. That is, his works are there. Just make sure you don't use them as is. You just need to ask permission if you want to use his banners. In Bear 411, he's got very nice pics there. He's very cute cub. And okay, so that's it. Check him out at Live Journal. It's X homage to Death X. Okay, so let's talk about IBR. I think I'm going to go to IBR this coming February with my partner. So are you going?
I'll be there, of course. I live in this area. Of course I'll be there. This should be an interesting IBR this year for a couple of reasons. One, it's being held at a new host hotel. In the past, it was always at the Ramada on Market Street, but this year they've moved up to the Holiday Inn on Van Ness Avenue. So it's a bigger hotel, but the unfortunate part about moving up to there is the major bear bars, unfortunately, are now no longer within walking distance. So you will probably have to take some of the charter transportation that they supply to go to the bars if you're purchasing a run package for IBR. The theme this year for IBR is Mardi Gras, because I think Mardi Gras is happening around the time that IBR is this year. So they decided to go with the Mardi Gras theme.
Yeah, but it's not on the same day as Mardi Gras, right?
No, it's not on the same day. No, it happens over the weekend. So
Okay.
But all sorts of events are always planned. You know, if you've never been to San Francisco, and if you've never been to the Bear event, it's definitely recommended to come. It's fun. You know, there's all sorts of activities to do. You know, there's the bears invade Chinatown, and the bears invade Fisherman's Wharf, and
That'd be fun.
Oh yeah, they do all sorts of activities. Okay. Of course, there's the sex events where they go to like Blow Buddies and the sex clubs. Of course, they have those. But there's other stuff to do. There's lots of alternative stuff to do. There's the Build a Teddy Bear Factory here in San Francisco. You can go build your own bear.
Oh, that's all over here. We have a lot of that here in Texas.
And there's also other events that go on. There's a club called Planet Big that's hosted at the Stud. They have two dances during IBR. Plus, also, there's the International Bear Rendezvous event where all of the people who are basically the vest and the sash wearers compete to become Mr. IBR.
Oh, yeah. We get to choose, I believe. I think we're only going to register for that that Saturday night, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's on a Saturday we're going to do that part only. So.
Well, that's a good night, because I think the Saturday night is when the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence is hosting the Bada Bingo. I think they're calling it Bada Bear Bingo. If you're not familiar with the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, I definitely recommend getting to know these people. The Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence are an incredible group. They are probably one of the most bravest groups, not only in San Francisco, but in the entire nation. I think they're worldwide now. The Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, basically their mission is to not only have fun and to basically free ourselves from inhibitions and become completely uninhibited with ourselves, but also to raise money for AIDS charities in the areas that they're at, that are pretty much lesser known AIDS charities that big organizations usually don't donate to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They do a lot of good. They're a fun group. If you don't know what I'm talking about, if you've ever seen a drag queen in your gay Mecca area in complete whiteface, wearing a bra as a habit, kind of looking like a very flamboyant Mardi Gras nun, that is a sister.
Oh, okay. That's going to be at IBR, huh? Okay.
Oh, yeah, they will be at IBR hosting bingo. And one of the sisters is actually a bear. Sister Burlesque is her name. And they just have these great names, like Sister Burlesque. There's one called Sister Sakitumi. There's
Sister Sakitumi.
Sister Tilly comes again. And, you know, just they come up with these great names. But They're an amazing organization. I totally support the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence for everything they do, even some of the naughtier stuff they do. Like, every year they host an Easter picnic in the park, but it's not your typical Easter picnic because they have contests like the Buffest Jesus contest.
Buffest Jesus. All right.
They get a little sacrilegious. They became notorious back in the late 80s when the Pope came to visit San Francisco, and they greeted him by staging a fake exorcism that kind of went a little over the top.
Oh,
and
okay.
The Pope responded by actually putting them on his top 10 most wanted list.
Oh.
Yeah. So at that point, they pretty much became very notorious. So, but wow. They do more good than bad. They are an amazing group, and I applaud the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence for everything that they do.
Well, okay, I'm looking forward to see them then. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing you at IBR. I mean, that's great. I'm glad to know that you're actually coming. So.
Yeah, we're going to be... probably a big. I'm not sure about the Texan group or people from Houston Air Bears going there. It's a possibility Persian Bear might go. I'll try to convince him.
Tell him he can meet Excalibur.
Yeah, okay.
Tell him that he'll be able to meet me in the buff and he won't have to rent my video in order to see that.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right. You're in the videos by Cyber Bears.
Yeah, we'll definitely be there. Cyber Bears is always there for the event. They got their little booth in the Bear Mall. So,
I see.
But cool. Yeah, there's all sorts of events going. If not only you, but if anybody else is planning on going, I definitely recommend getting your package run as soon as possible before the prices rise up, and
actually,
also booking the rooms quickly.
Actually, ran out of rooms in the host hotel. We gotta go.
They run out very quick. Yeah. There's all sorts of hotels all over the place that you can get a room at where you'll be close to the action, but it's definitely, you know, recommended. Book your room now.
Yeah, so, we're gonna do the an overflow hotel somewhere. I think we already got it booked at the La Quinta Inn somewhere.
Mm-hmm. So be careful with some of the hotels. Definitely, when you are booking your hotels, definitely do your research on them because some of them are kind of seedy. So, you know, definitely do your research. That's a tip that I can give to everybody. Check rates. You can never go wrong with, like, the Travel Lodge, but the Travel Lodge, I'm pretty sure if the host hotel is filled up, then the Travel Lodge is filled up by now. There are a couple of hotels that are down by the Lone Star, the Eagle, and also the Stud. There's a Howard Johnson's and a Best Western, but most likely they're filled up by now, too. But, you know, just check around. You don't necessarily have to stay right there by the event because there's incredible public transportation that goes on in the city of San Francisco anyway, so you'll be able to get yourself from your hotel to the host hotel with no problem. So.
Yeah, I'm excited to do that very soon. But anyway, hey, let me check.
I think what I'll do also is when it gets closer to IBR, since, you know, if there's any listeners that are going to be coming to IBR, what I'll do is I'll compile a list of, you know, not only, you know, tips, basically, because there's definitely, especially if you're going to be coming to San Francisco for the first time, I mean, there's, you know, of course, there's certain things that you're going to want to do, but unfortunately, some of the stuff can really break your bank. So what I'll do is I'll compile, like, the stuff that you can do that's fun, but you can also get the better deals on and everything. So,
So, tell them your where they can see it. I mean, your lists, if ever.
Oh, the list hasn't been composed yet. Like I said, I'll actually compose it and everything, and most likely I'll post it out there somewhere. I don't know yet.
Wow. Okay.
Then also I'll bring it to the podcast also to let people know. But I'll definitely give you some tips because if you're coming here for the very first time, if you're going to Fisherman's Wharf, of course you're going to want to do, you know, like Alcatraz and stuff like that. I think that actually is included with the run.
Oh, it is.
But,
yeah. Okay.
But, you know, there's certain places, like if you go to Chinatown, of course, you know, one of the big things with Chinatown is dim sum, but there's some places basically will, the price of dim sum is the down payment of a Buick Skylark. So you just have to be careful where you go.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to go outside of the areas to experience something. Like, just because you're in Chinatown, that doesn't mean that, you know, necessarily the best Chinese food is there. So, yeah, you know, just little tips like that.
Yeah, I'm excited to do that. We'll see. It's sometime in February, right? The weekend,
yes,
of Valentine's Day, I think.
Actually, it's the weekend after Valentine's Day this year.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Normally, it is on the weekend of Valentine's Day, but this year it's the weekend after.
All right. Well, so hopefully our listeners would, or are going there, hope to, if you ever see us there, me, Nard, or Excalibur, just say hi.
Definitely.
Yeah, so
don't be afraid to say hi. I don't bite unless that's what you're into.
Yeah. Rare. All right, so let me see. We're clocking in at 50 minutes. Wow, this is the longest podcast I've ever done.
Damn.
So, all right, so that wraps. Let's wrap this because
definitely it's going long.
It's going to.
Oh, real quick before we go, I'm pretty sure all of you know anyway, but I'm just reminding you again. I am auditioning to become part of the Don and Drew show as doing the Gay Boy News.
That's right.
I am a drooling fan of Don and Drew, and anybody who knows me knows this, that I am a complete devout fan to these people. And I really want this job. I really, really, really do. I sent in my audition with them and everything. And what they're going to do is they're going to play the audition on the air. And then it's going to be up to the listeners to actually vote on who to choose.
Yeah.
So
they can simply call, right?
I think it's either going to be by call or by email. They haven't specified how to vote yet. So
oh, okay.
I think they're going to play all the audition pieces because they only requested for them to be only about 2 or 3 minutes long. So
yeah,
they'll probably play them all like within 1 or 2 episodes, and then you send in who you want, and then you go from there. So I beg all of the Bear Podcast listeners to please contact Don and Drew at donanddrew@gmail.com, or you can contact Don at don@donanddrewshow.com, and you know, tell them that you want Fag Fan Roy, which is my name on the show.
Mm-hmm. Also, you can also call Don and Drew on their voicemail.
Definitely,
line.
You can call them at 206-666-FUCK.
Yeah, that's FUCK. So you can call them there and tell them that you want Fag Fan Roy in the Don and Drew show. That'd be great.
Please.
Okay, do your begging thing. How do you beg?
Please make me your bitch.
All right. Okay, guys.
I promise to give everybody who votes for me a blowjob. How about that?
Okay. God, there's going to be, I don't know.
I have to get my mouth ready for that. I know
that. A few dozen, I guess. You got to be ready with your lip balm.
I'm going to have to get my muscles ready for that one. Start doing my exercises.
Mm-hmm. Okay, guys. You also can, you can snail mail me. I have a new P.O. box. It's P.O. Box, you can write Bear Podcast at P.O. Box 2511, Humble, Texas, 77347. Yeah, you can snail mail me there. You can also visit the Frapper page. That's Frapper, FRAPPR.com/ Bear Podcast. You can post your name and location, your zip code there, so we could find out how many of you guys are listening to this podcast. So it'd be great to hear from you guys and see you guys in the map. You'll see about 16 dots there right now. For now, I hope it grows.
Oh, come on. We need to increase that.
Yeah. Only have 16. Well, compared to Don and Drew, they have about 2,000, I think.
Yeah. They're gods. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's right.
You hear that, Don and Drew? I called you God. Make me your bitch.
Okay. Yeah.
Anyway, and if anybody wants to get in contact with me, you can contact me via email at excalibear, that's spelled excalibear, @gmail.com. Or you can also find me on Bear411. I'm known as EDG5574.
Yeah.
I will place those links in the on the show notes of this podcast.
And I definitely love talking to people. You know, I'm not just about hookups. You know, I definitely love getting to know people and making, you know, online pen pals and stuff. So, you know, draw me a line.
Getting
feel free to say hi.
You. Getting. All right. So, okay, so that wraps the show. Email me at bearchaser@bearpodcast.com. Or you can leave me a voicemail line you can leave a voice message in my voicemail line, 206-222-BEAR. That's 206-222-2327. Official website is www.bearpodcast.com. So we'll catch you guys in the next show, okay?
So you got it.
All right, so... thank you. Thank you, Excalibur, for joining me in this podcast.
Thank you for inviting me.
All right. So, see you later, guys. Many whoops and many hugs.
Off the pasta.